kind of my look.
Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics, initial meeting, February 23rd, 2010, 4 p.m.
My name is Brad Merriman. I'm Assistant County Administrator and been working with the County Attorney's Office in the establishment of the Commission on Ethics and the associated ordinances. And before we get to our business, our first order of business is the swearing in of our Ethics Commission. So with that, I'd like to ask Judge Bonk to come forward, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you all stand for me, please, and raise your right hand? It is my honor and privilege to swear you in at this time, and if you'll fill in your name at the appropriate time, I
am Robert Hutchinson,
a citizen of the state of Florida, and of the United States of America, do hereby solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida. That I am duly qualified to serve as a member of the Commission on Ethics pursuant to Palm Beach County Ordinance number
2009-050,
and that I will well and faithfully perform my duties as a member of the Commission on Ethics on which I am now about to enter. So help me God. Congratulations.
Thank you, Judge, and congratulations, Commissioners. The ordinance provides for the election of a chair. If you would like to do that today, if you would not, we can just kind of roll on with the meeting. Your choice.
I'd like to make a nomination, Judge Rogers, for chair.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Name of the real
Congratulations, Mr. Chair.
That's nice and simple.
My meeting, huh?
Yes, sir.
Things happen pretty quick. Seems like there may have been a violation with sunshine law somewhere. All right, Mr. Merriman, you're next up to introduce the staff that are going to help us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'd like to take a minute and talk about some of the history and why we're here and what we hope to accomplish today and give the staff an opportunity to introduce themselves. With me right here is Lenny Berger, our assistant county attorney, and David Baker, who is the chairman of our Ethics Inspector General Implementation Advisory Committee, which is a citizens group of advisory committee that will be assisting us in the complete implementation of all the ordinances. As you're aware, the reason we're here today is because the Board of County Commissioners passed three ordinances in December, which created the Ethics Commission, the Office of the Inspector General, and the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics. These ordinances, as I said, were passed in December. Yes, sir?
Let me interrupt you a minute, Brad. Did we forget to put the vice chair on the train? We have a nomination or for vice chair?
I'll make a nomination for that. And I'd like to nominate Manny Farage for that position.
Second.
Okay, it's probably moved and seconded. Manuel Farage be nominated as vice chair. Heard the motion. Any questions? There being none?
I'll join you on that train.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's only the two of us on the train right now. Thank you for the interruption, Mr. Merriman.
Not a problem, sir. You all have been provided with copies of all the ordinances for your leisurely reading. And Lenny's going to talk a little bit about some of the detail of the ordinances in just a moment. Shortly after the ordinances were passed, county staff and the citizen members of our advisory committee began the process of implementation. And we're going to talk to you in a little bit of detail with the senior staff who are here on the efforts that have been accomplished so far. The Implementation Advisory Committee, as I said, Mr. Baker is the chair. We also have Ira Scheibel, Bob Newmark, and Gail Howden from the Implementation Advisory Committee who have joined us here this afternoon. At the moment, county staff will be your staff support, but the ordinances provide for the selection and hiring by you of an executive director. Also, with the assistance of the state attorney and the public defender, you will be the selection committee for the inspector general. Both of those positions are currently being advertised, and the information concerning those advertisements is in your packet as well. We're going to talk in a little more detail in a few minutes about those selection processes, because those will probably be your first and most important orders of business in the coming months. So with that, I'd like to just briefly go around the room and have our staff that have been working on these issues introduce themselves.
Audrey Wolf, I'm the Director of Facilities Development and Operations.
Joe Doucette, I'm the Budget Director.
Patty Hindle, Agenda Coordinator.
Yvette LeBay, I'm Training and Organizational Development.
I'm Wayne Condry, I'm the Director of the County Human Resources Department.
Leigh Lothingham, Manager of Recruitment and Selection.
I'm Lisa Della Rionda, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs.
Heather Sherm, a Web Design Coordinator for Public Affairs.
Todd Bonlaren, Legislative Affairs Director for the County.
David Baker, Chair of the Implementation Committee.
Lenny Berger, Assistant County Attorney.
Just wanted to point out in our audience today is Mr. Bob Wiseman, who is our County Administrator, and Commissioner Jess Santa Maria. Thank you for coming. Did I miss anybody out there? Denise. Denise Neiman, our county attorney, hiding in the back row. So with that, if we may, Mr. Chair, I'd like to begin our staff updates, and we're going to start with Lenny Berger, who's going to talk about ethics, sunshine law, public records, and duties and overview. Lenny?
Good afternoon. It's only appropriate to start this with an overview of the ethics laws, since you all will be meeting out the advisory opinions and penalties and such under the local code. But you are also going to be subject to the state code of ethics, and that's what I really wanted to spend a little bit of time on today. And also the sunshine law, because you are a public agency now, you are subject to the sunshine law requirements. The easy part is the one that most everybody gets straight away, and that is that the sunshine law requires all decision-making to be made in the public. The part that not everybody grasps immediately is that this law covers every phase and every aspect of the decision-making process. And what courts mean when they say that is literally every form of discussion that you all, the board members, might have. Of course, it would be a silly law if the point of it, which is to make sure that the public always has the opportunity to be there when you're having your public debates and discussions, it would be silly to allow two or more of you to sit in a back room and have these discussions only to come out here and summarily approve whatever you're voting on. So the way this law is applied, it applies any time two or more of you communicate on anything that's going to foreseeably come before the board. And, of course, communicating doesn't just mean talking. It means writing. It means emailing. It means Facebooking, tweeting, whatever else might be coming down the pike. Any of those things are prohibited, secret ballots, anything that you can imagine. So the five of you and the seven of you, for the purposes of the selection process for the Inspector General, have to be very sensitive to that. If you have particular questions about the board for the time being, like Brad said, your staff for the time being is Brad and the rest of county staff. They can help you with questions, but don't communicate among yourselves with any matter that's coming before your board. The Sunshine Law has serious consequences for violating it. Knowing violations is a second-degree misdemeanor. which can get you 60 days in jail or a $500 fine or both, and also which does happen from time to time, is it can undo anything that ultimately is done. And the best and most spectacular example of that came right in the island of Palm Beach about 20 years ago when their entire zoning code was voided because groups of neighborhood groups were appointed, didn't follow the Sunshine Law. After all of the public hearing process and the adoptions went through, it was determined that it could be traced back to a violation, and they had a very expensive and embarrassing mistake. So don't do that. The State Code of Ethics that... And again, we'll only go through this briefly because there's a lot for all of you to go through. You do have some materials that I think were made available to you. They're basically, it is designed to avoid any kind of situation where your private lives would create a conflict of interest with your public duties here. It deals primarily with money. You cannot have any kind of contractual relationship either with the business that you own or anybody who employs you with your agency. In addition, the kinds of obvious violations would be misusing your, or I think they use the word corruptly, using your office for some sort of private gain, using information that's only available to you by dint of your public position for some sort of private gain, or of course, receiving anything of any kind of value from someone with the understanding that it was given to you in exchange for the way you do your duties here. These should be pretty clear and obvious. Again, they exist online in great detail, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have later or contact me. But when we get into the County Code of Ethics, again, it almost feels silly telling you what it is since you're the ethics board. Online, there will be our there might already be, it's soon anyway, online training materials for all advisory board members at pbcgov.org. There's a special tab for Inspector General and Ethics Commission. There will be a tape and an outline that either is in place or about to be in place that can fill you in on what you need to know. Most significantly, under the local code, you will have to follow a gift law. You will not be allowed to accept gifts from people who lobby your agency or their employers if the gift's valued at more than $100. Other gifts that are valued at over $100 from other people will have to be reported. This does not include gifts from family members and such. Those of you who have been involved in public life are sort of familiar with this law. It's not much different from what the state law requires of its elected officials. This will be a reporting requirement that will come around and will begin October 1st of 2010. So again, you have some time to worry about this. or not worry. As the board, of course, you will be working with your own executive director and staff. We'll be talking about the selection process for your executive director as well. Your jobs here, you will be an enforcement board. You will be hearing in an administrative setting violations of the Code of Ethics. So you will get to know the code, and I'm sure I'll be asking you questions sooner than you'll be asking them of me on how the code actually works. The executive director and its staff will serve as the prosecutors and as counsel to your board as well. You will also be rendering advisory opinions as to how particular parts of this code really work in a particular person's situation. And you'll also be the entity in charge of developing and providing and delivering training programs for county government. And bear in mind, too, coming down the road, we do intend to put this before the public for vote next fall to amend our charter so that it will apply at least in all the municipalities as well, so your jurisdiction will spread. There are a couple of limits that I just want to make sure you all understand from the outset. For as long as you serve as Ethics Commission members, you need to be removed from the political world. You can't hold or campaign for any elective office or hold office in any political party or political committee, actively participate or contribute to any political action committee or candidate, be employed by the county, or any government ultimately that you might have jurisdiction over as a member of this commission, and allow your name to be used in campaign, in any campaign to support or be against any kind of candidate. The only thing you can do, you can put your name on a petition in support of a particular referendum issue, not a candidate in particular, but a referendum issue. And those are the highlights. Thanks very much for your attention. Again, don't hesitate to call if you have any questions about how any of this works as you guys get up and running. And congratulations, first day.
Thank you.
Brad, I already had a question. How are we going to do decision-making on the Inspector General and the Executive Director? The actual discussions, because I'd like those to be confidential, or are they going to be completely public?
They'll be public.
Okay.
And the same with advisory opinions? Somebody writes us for an opinion, we have a public meeting on the opinion?
The way I envision it, and again, a lot of this will be up to what you and your staff ultimately do, but in the State Commission on Ethics, a person asks for an opinion. The staff typically drafts the opinion, and at a public hearing, the board approves it with recommendations, sends them back to the drawing board, and it is done publicly. That may be the way you all elect to do it, but that's the way we had envisioned it, at least.
Lenny, could I?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I mean, you can use that staff person, that you can interact with the staff person. You just can't interact with each other. I mean,
time with the staff person as well?
As long as the staff person isn't used as a conduit.
And how will our interplay be with the advisory committee as well?
Well, that'll be public, too, I expect.
Are we prohibited from speaking to those individuals individually?
Okay, and the jobs that some of us here are lawyers who practice law, and how do they handle their cases? As far as listening to cases that they're going to have. As far as your income is concerned, or as far as I'm concerned, does this mean that I don't do mediations or special masters and stuff?
As long as you aren't working for Palm Beach County government as a special master, that will be an issue.
Okay. So if Judge Blanc appoints me as a special master in a case?
We need to get our nomenclature right here. I'm talking about special masters that are hired by the Board of County Commissioners to do administrative appeals. The things you do in the judiciary is a different agency. That would be different. So that wouldn't be captured here.
Okay. All right. Any other questions before we move on? And you'll be available for individual questions by individual members, right?
I thought you told me you're out of it now.
By degree.
Okay, next, Mr. Merriman.
Thank you, sir. We were joined right after we made the introductions by Dr. Dennis Gallen, who's also a member of the Implementation Advisory Committee. So thank you, Dr. Gallen.
Okay, Dr. Gallen.
As I mentioned, shortly after the implementation or the passage of the ordinances, staff began in earnest with the implementation process. From this day forward, as I mentioned, we are your staff. We will take direction from the commission. The information we're providing you today is an update on what we've done so far. If you feel that we need to do things differently or go in a different direction, that's certainly one of our goals today, is to let you know what we've done and to get your direction for the future. Our first update will be from Lisa DeLionda, who is our public affairs director, and talk to you about the information that we have on the web and how we get that out. Lisa?
Thank you, Brad. Good afternoon, members. Again, I'm Lisa DeLionda, and I'm the director of the Public Affairs Department. And I would like to briefly explain our department's role regarding the Ethics Commission and the Inspector General. Public Affairs is responsible for printed materials, website development, enhancement, and updates, and videotaping and broadcasting programs on PBC TV Channel 20, the county's governmental and educational cable-based channel. Tasks to date include, from our office, a hotline has been established to report fraud, waste, and abuse, either anonymously or the caller can leave contact information. That toll-free number is posted currently on our website. As I mentioned, Public Affairs is responsible for the pbcgov.com website. Our site consists of over 5,000 pages and over 4 million visits during calendar year 2009. Before I turn the presentation over to Heather to review the website features, there are a couple of other significant tasks Public Affairs has been involved in. In coordination with our human resources and our county attorney's office, Channel 20 taped the employee ethics training video, as well as the advisory board members' ethics training videos. Those are the ones Brad mentioned earlier. And lastly, our graphics division is in the process of printing and distributing the ethics informational packets for county employees and advisory board members. And I'd like to turn this over to Heather at this time.
Good afternoon, commissioners. In your packet that you received today, you should have a copy of our homepage of our website, and it's and our little ethics/inspector general tab is circled in red. And that's just to give you a visual of how you can get to it once you go to our pbcgov.com website. Once you click there, it's a one-stop shop for anything ethics and inspector general related. You're going to find information about your own correspondence with the county and your appointments. Job postings both for the executive director and for the inspector general. You'll find all the upcoming meeting dates for both the implementation committee and your own commission meetings as we set them. Meeting minutes as we receive them. Copies of all three ordinances. And as Lenny mentioned, the training materials, which will be available as of March 1st. There'll be videos both for advisory board members and for employees, all available to the public.
All right, sir. Any questions? Go on to the next one.
Thank you, Lisa and Heather. The next person to present will be Joe Doucette, who is our budget director, and he's going to talk about the funding of the Ethics Commission budget and the Inspector General. Joe?
Thank you, Brad. Gaffney, commissioners. My role in this process has been to work with the county departments and the clerk's office to develop the policy and procedure to implement the IG fee to fund the Inspector General's office. So we've worked for the last, actually since the ordinance was adopted in December, to come up with the mechanics of making this work and fund the office. As you know, it will be funded by a 0.25% fee on contracts with some exemptions as are identified in the ordinance. The Ethics Commission's office is currently funded with a transfer from the general fund for the remainder of this year for an amount of $180,000. The fiscal year 2011 budget, which begins on October 1, 2010, will, you know, as you move forward in your development process and get staff hired on, we'll work with you to get that budget developed for you. The IG fee training that we are putting in place will be for all county staff involved in procurement so that they will know when the IG fee is applicable to procurements, and we're about to have that training tomorrow and Friday. So we've worked for the last couple months to get this up and going. The effective date, as approved by the board today, for the fee will be March 2nd for phase one. Most of all contracts are in that phase, and then the second phase will be April 23rd, at which time we will amend our purchasing code, and then at that time, the fee will be fully implemented. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Who do we talk to next, Mr. Mayor?
We are going to talk to Todd Bonlaren, who is our Legislative Affairs Director. Many of the changes that are in the ordinances relate to lobbyists, and Todd will explain what we've done so far on that. Todd?
Mr. Chairman, Commission members, just to, so you know, to date, the county has required individuals lobbying before the County Commission and staff to register with the county. We also have contact logs that we have at each department's office, so when an individual is coming in, they sign that contact log, who they're going to see, what the nature of the business, and then they check off whether or not they are a registered lobbyist or not. And we continue to maintain that login form, and we will continue to do so as we move forward. Some of the most significant changes in the new law relate to how we register lobbyists and a fee associated with that. Instead of each lobbyist being able to fill out one form and sign it and then just attach an addendum with their clients on it, we are going to require every individual who lobbies to fill out a form signed by them as well as the principal that they represent. So if somebody represents 25 clients, they'll have 25 forms signed by them and that principal. With each of those forms is attached a $25 fee. So they will be paying a $25 fee, which will be payable to the county. We will collect that fee and deposit it with the clerk, and those dollars will go into the general fund of the county. Typically, as of the 31st of December, each of those forms has expired. Under the new law, those forms will not expire. So somebody registers one time with the county, pays one fee for that client, and until such time as they fill out a withdrawal form and they're withdrawing from representing that client before the county commission, they will remain in our records as a lobbyist representing that entity until, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, or however long they plan on representing them. Currently, we have had our lobbyists who've registered with us. They have registered already. That is supposed to expire on the 31st. However, under the new law, those will all expire as of May 1st, and everyone will be required to re-register as of May 1st into that system. We have online on the county's website a page that you can go to, and you can search every lobbyist by principal as well as by name. And we are currently working with the cities to see how we might be able to interface any potential changes that they make and institute with lobbying registration to interface with our county system. We've also developed a letter that will be going out on March the 1st that will include all of this information to every lobbyist who is currently registered to explain to them some of the new rules and new requirements as set forth by this ordinance so that they understand that their registration will expire and it's time for them to re-register again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you. The next issue we'd like to discuss with you is the issue of space, not the final frontier, but the physical location of where you all will conduct your business and where the Inspector General and the Ethics Commission and Executive Director will be housed. And Audrey Wolf is our Facilities Director, and she'll talk about that.
I was tasked with that responsibility. Before I could do anything, I needed to determine what the requirements were going to be for the office. So I contacted Miami to determine what their staffing requirements were when they initially started up, as well as in the early years. They had an initial startup, and they increased slightly in year one and have not had much growth since then. So using the exact same numbers, their startup complement was the IG, a deputy IG, a secretary, an analyst, which is a very high-level technical position with special requirements as to security, and 2 to 3 investigators. Within the first year, they added an auditor position as well as 1 to 2 investigators. Some of them were working part-time. So what we tried to do was come up with enough space so that we could accomplish that entire complement for those first 3 years without having to relocate. As far as special facilities go, there's also a requirement for equipment and evidence room, as well as all of the special requirements that come with the analyst, because they're going to be they're responsible for specialized information that's either protected by FDLE or FBI or criminal history records checks, personal information. Also, enough space for the investigators' files for their active cases. As far as general location goes, we were looking for a location that was not the government center, where the entire suite would be able to be secured from the rest of the building, that obviously was going to be able to meet the needs for the first 3 years. We also wanted to try to have some amount of public space available so that you were able to hold the hearings there as well. The ethics executive director and one staff person would also be housed in this space. We did locate that amount of space due to recent reductions. We have some vacancies, and we have identified a building that meets all of those requirements, and it's known as the Operations and Support Center. It's located at Vista, at our Vista Center complex, which is at Jog and Okeechobee. I don't know if you're all familiar with generally that location. It's a very large mixed-use development on the northwest corner of the Turnpike and Okeechobee. Within that, the county has two developments. One of them is a four-story office building. The other is the operations support center. The floor plan that you have in front of you is actually for the suite that would be identified for the inspector general. If you look to the right-hand side of your page, those columns that you have there in a row, that's the actual entrance feature. When you enter, there is a main lobby with a receptionist that provides welcoming and where visitors wait until somebody comes to escort them to their suite. The inspector general suite is immediately to the left of that. It is securable from the exterior as well as from the building through card access. It can be left open during the day if you want, or otherwise it can be secured at all times and an escort required. Within the suite, there are offices for the IG, a conference room, the ethics executive director, and the analyst, also the deputy IG and future auditor. The remainder of the spaces would be in a workstation configuration so that they are reconfigurable depending on the work style. The actual investigator spaces are approximately twice as big as the ones that we provide for the sheriff's office as well as for the SA and the PD because of the nature of the work and the number of documents. It will also allow for flexibility in the future if we have to add investigators because we can still reduce the amount of their workstations and still have more than what is typically the standard. So we think this is the most flexibility we can get without knowing the exact complement going in. We would like to, there is a little bit of build-out that needs to be done, and if you are generally okay with this, we